Okay. And why are we doing a review?
Somebody said because we didn't learn it the first time.
It's for the review, please.
First class sounds extra.
We're doing a review. Davey, we're doing a review because Anthony was not
inmates,
here.
Inmates.
Yeah. Well, we're going to blame it on Anthony rather than the inmates. All right.
Anthony wasn't here.
Yes. And it was so good that we want to do it again. Praise the Lord. So let's do this. See if we can make it just a little bit bigger. That's too big.
Looks good to me.
Okay, well, we'll do it big. Okay.
Yeah, that's good.
All right, there we go. Matthew chapter 15, verse 1 through 20. Okay, then, again, just review. Then came to Jesus scribes and Pharisees. All right, and we looked at this last week. After the miracles, after all the other things that we talked about, after he's done such great work, after he's been introduced to his ministry and healing people, okay, then come the scribes and Pharisees. Who were the scribes and Pharisees again?
Church people.
The teachers, mm-hmm. The religious leaders coming from Jerusalem, which was the headquarters of the church at the time. Church people. All right. What else do we know about Pharisees? What did Jesus call them? Hypocrites. They're hypocrites. All right. This is thousands of years ago. Are there hypocrites today?
Yes.
Are there Pharisees today?
Yes.
Where did these Pharisees and scribes hang out at?
In the church.
Where do the Pharisees today hang out at?
In the church.
Okay. Is every church person a hypocrite or a Pharisee?
No.
No, just the crazy ones. All right, so we're not talking about, we're just talking about crazy church folk. All right, here we go. Now, they come and they ask a question. Look at this last week. Why do thy disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they wash not their hands when they eat bread. All right? So, I asked the inmates at the Bible study today why they would ask that question. What was the motivation behind the question? All right? And one of them said, to shame or discredit him. They asked the question to shame or discredit the ministry of Christ and his disciples. Got it? Then I did this thing called, you know, I'm a consultant, so when we want to get to the root cause of something, there's a technique that we use called the five whys. And so you just keep asking why up to five times and you'll get to the root. So I asked them, why do you think the Pharisees and scribes asked them this question? What was the motivation? And they said, to shame or discredit him. And then I said, why? And they said, to make themselves look better. And I said, why? And they said, to validate and justify themselves. And I said, why? And they said, out of fear. And I said, why? And they said, loss of control, loss of power, pride. I'm like, wow. So that's the template or the motivation behind why the Pharisees are asking this question. Then I asked them, and then it just kind of hit me, because they gave a little bit more than what I had. I just kind of slipped right down to it. I said, hey, pride, power, money, whatever. And I thought about this, and I'm like, that's the motivation for the Pharisees asking Christ this question. And I started to ask myself, has there ever been a time that I've been a Pharisee and not know it?
Oh, yeah.
How does this right here that we're looking at work and all that? And I just started to really appreciate Bible study and the way that we p- pick this apart and the depthness in which we go. And immediately I was convicted, because there have been times that I had a pharisaical, if that's a word, behavior, and did not know it. And I was only doing stuff just to justify myself and to okay. So I'll just be transparent. I'm in my second marriage. I've been married over 30 years. The first marriage was a huge mistake. And I was a good boy. And I always wanted to be a good boy, but I had fallen way away from the church. I was carnal at best. And I did not want to be in the relationship anymore. It was just a mistake. And I started to go to church. Al, ask me why I started going to church.
Why?
For the same reasons that the inmates answered my questions why. Before you even got to the power, it just was leading up to that. Mm-hmm. So I asked myself as I'm teaching, why did I start going to church when I was in trouble with my marriage? Because I wanted to shame and discredit her. Mm-hmm. Because she certainly was not going to church, and I was. Mm-hmm. Why? To make myself look better. Why? To validate and justify what I really wanted to do. Why? Because I feared that I'd be stuck in something that I would never be able to recover from or get out of, fear of my happy dream life or whatever. Fear. I was crushed when I looked at it. Did not understand that that was leading me to be a Pharisee and not even know it. Because I was doing something that looked good on the outside for the wrong reasons. That's a Pharisee. I praise God for His grace and His mercy and His glory. And if you're in your first, second, or third relationship or whatever, it's cool. Because the blood washes us clean. And when the enemy comes and says, well, you're discredited, you can never recover from this, that, and the other thing, I still remember, it's not true, and I still remember the woman taken in adultery, and he said, hey, I'm not holding anything against you, just go and sin no more. Just don't make the same mistake that you made last time. Repent and move on. So I want to really kind of hit the review part on this, because as we go through the depth of this parable and this story, you really need to be able to see yourself in this and protect yourself from making the same mistake. I even have to be careful that I'm not a Pharisee when I'm in this class. I want everybody to like me. And if I get caught up in self, all right, I may want to teach in a certain way or say certain things or whatever that really try to get you guys to like me, to keep coming back or whatever, but you may like me or keep coming back for the wrong reasons. And if you see me and don't see God, then I have not done what I needed to do. Everything we do in this class and in this church must be about bringing glory to God. And if we're not, then we're in danger of being crazy church people. Mm-hmm. All right. Then as I was looking at this, I also started looking at the fact of, are there ever times in which people use the same tactic that the Pharisees are using to kind of throw us off our game? So let me just go a little bit further into this. Again, this is just review. And with the inmates, I said, pay close attention to verse 3. But he answered and said unto them, why do ye also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? And I asked them to look closely at verse 3, because verse 3 is the response that Jesus gives to the Pharisees or the crazy church people. Or it could be your crazy relatives. All right? And we looked at this last week, and one of the things that I shared with them, again, is, he asked a question of their question. He does not accuse. Did Jesus know that they were Pharisees or that they were hypocrites? But he waits a while before he calls them what they are. Because if he had called them hypocrites here, then they're going to get defensive and he's going to have a problem. And they never will hear me here. They never will receive the truth so that they could repent. Because Jesus is not just ministering to his disciples and the people. He's ministering to the lost. And the Pharisees are lost and do not know it because they are self-righteous. And so he tries to meet them where they are by saying, I'm not going to accuse you of what I know you are. Instead, I'm going to ask a question. And the purpose of the... Ooh, you'll like this, what the inmates came up with. The purpose of the question, all right, is to convict them or get them to look at themselves, all right? And one of the inmates, I mentioned to them that the devil asks questions too. And it just kind of hit me. When the devil asks questions, like he asked questions in the garden, when the devil asks questions, the purpose of him asking the question is to hide the truth or get you to not believe in the truth. But when God asks a question, it's not to hide the truth. You might want to write this one down. But it's to reveal the truth. And you might accuse somebody of something, which might be truth, but they're not going to receive it because they're going to get defensive. And the thing that, what's the first step in order for somebody to get to the Lord? You got to be humble and brokenhearted and see the need. And if you accuse somebody, then they're going to double down on being stupid. They're going to protect themselves, and they won't have that brokenness. They'll see the need to defend themselves and not the need to surrender to the Almighty God. But if you give them the right question, then the question will give them a fighting chance of looking at themselves and seeing, based upon the question you ask, this is it. Back in those days, over four decades ago, if you had told me, Chuck, you going to church, you're a hypocrite, I would have fought you. I was bringing other people to church. I was starting to listen to praise music and Leon Pacello and some other stuff. I was talking to the base chaplain. I was doing all kinds of stuff or whatever for the Lord. And I would have fought you and told you you're a lie, and it's a lie from the pit of hell. But if you had asked me the right question and said, why are you really going to church? I wouldn't have fought you. I would have had to answer truthfully and say, I'm really only doing this to look good. But nobody asked the right question. So I still blindly kept doing what I was trying to do. Ooh, y'all quiet today. Sandra ain't saying nothing. Quiet. Are y'all still connected out there? What's going on? All right. Anyway. So when I shared with verse 3 the inmates, I'm like, now you got to personalize this thing. I said, has anybody ever looked at how you're operating in the Lord? Has anybody ever seen your testimony? Has anybody ever seen how God is working in your life? Has anybody ever approached you at any time and said, you think you're this and you think you're that and you think you're right, but what about this? And a lot of them raised their hands because a lot of people, even there at the jail, were saying, I see you going to Bible study. I see you carrying your Bible. I see you rolling up in church. But I still see you doing this. What about this? And they were nodding their head in agreement. Have you ever had an argument with somebody, kids, spouse, or whatever, and they come to you and go, oh, you think you're right, but what about this? And if the what about this, if the motivation for the what about this is not from the Holy Spirit, but it's lining up with these other things, why the reason the Pharisees were asking the question, because it's to discredit you or to make themselves be justified or whatever, or so that they can have some kind of control over you, then you need to see how Jesus answered that. Because he never defended himself over their accusations. Instead, he said, you're looking and focusing on the wrong thing. Here's a question. I'm doing this, but let's focus on you. Let's shift the focus from me and you focusing on me, and let's shift the focus to you and God. And he asked him a question. So when we have those conflicts or those situations where we find ourselves having to try to defend ourselves, we got to be careful that in the defense of ourselves, we don't, one, become prideful, and two, we don't miss the main focus. I don't like doing this, but I want to do it because we're all friends, blah, blah, blah. What do you think, and there's a politician in the jailhouse there this morning or whatever, Lord, and I asked him a question because he's big on politics. I asked, what do you think is the biggest concern for the state of Alabama during this election year? What is the one of the biggest things that the state needs to address? And he said, education. And I'm like, okay, I get it. Because if I didn't have a good education, I wouldn't be where I am right now. Just wouldn't be. Somebody else said, economics. I'm like, got that right, because if somebody hadn't given me a job when I was in high school and in my college years, I wouldn't be where I am right now. Somebody else said socialism. I'm like, yeah, maybe. I put it third or whatever, you know. Somebody else said, you know, the abortion rights. I'm like, okay, you put it in there. All right. I said, but I don't know if anybody's been watching the TV and the commercials. Because if I'm watching the TV and the commercials, it seems like the biggest concerns for the state is you made me wear a mask. The wall. Transgender.
Gun control.
But that's just them.
Well, but it's being pushed out, and the focus starts, because it's red meat, and the focus starts to be on that. But what should we really be talking about? So now I got to ask the question. Why are you asking these questions and bringing up these things when it may not be the most important? Let me go through this Pharisee list here and say, are you doing it to discredit somebody else? Are you doing it to make yourself look better? Are you doing it to validate and justify yourself? Are you doing it out of fear because you want to either gain control or maintain control? But the bottom line is, here you go. You got to be very careful when you put your politics into your religion and vice versa, because now all of a sudden you might not be focusing on the right thing, and all of a sudden you're going to have hypocrites all over the place.
Yep, you're focusing on the wrong thing.
So we got to make sure that we focus on the right thing. And Christ's response to three is, let me shift your focus from me to what you really need to be looking at, and you really need to be looking at your relationship and how you deal with God, and stop worrying about what I'm doing over here.
The truth. Yeah.
You're trying to discredit the work of the kingdom that I'm bringing to the table here, rather than focus on what you need to be focused on. Besides, why would he argue with them? Because bottom line is, his disciples did not wash their hands before their age. He never, and see, and that's the thing. So the inmates were all excited about this, because they're like, you know what? Here I am trying to justify why I still play spades and why I still do this, that, and the other, or whatever. And I may need to address that, but that's not the most important thing that you need to be focusing about. The most important thing is, if I'm coming to church, but you see me, I'm coming to Bible study, and you see me not doing something, what about this over here? I get that. I'm still a work in process, but let me ask you a question. Why don't you come and hear the word of the Lord? You gotta ask the right question. Yes, ma'am.
In conjunction with that, I think it goes with asking the right question, is do you have the authority to ask that question of that person? Do the hypocrites have the authority to question?
Do the hypocrites have the authority?
Christ. If you're going to, you know, that also makes it where you're doing it for yourself and not for them. If I don't have the authority to question Jesus,
right,
then I'm being a Pharisee by question by calling your out on something, question by question your own.
What's the purpose of you calling me out in the first place? Are you doing it under the authority of God because you love me and you care about me, or are you doing it to prop yourself up? I still love what Susan said last week. They were not ready to receive Christ. They looked in his eyes. They were in his presence, and they still missed him. Wow. All right. Again, this is just review. And David, we are reviewing this because of Anthony. So if you get anything out of this, praise God for Anthony. It had nothing to do with me not recording last week. You know, had very little to do with what the inmates were sharing. We love Anthony, and we don't want him to miss this great truth. Amen.
I'll allow it.
David said he would allow it. Amen. Verse 4, for God commanded, saying, honor thy father and thy mother, and he that curses father and mother, let him die to death. But ye say, whosoever shall say to his father or his mother, it is a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, and honor not his father or his mother, he shall be free. Thus ye have made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition. Okay, now all that Shakespearean stuff just basically says this. He gives them a specific example. So not only ask a question, but give them a specific example for them to ponder. Why do you do this? Here's an example. And the example that he's using here is the Pharisees were saying, hey, look, if you give all your money to the church, then you don't have to give money to mommy and daddy. So don't have to worry about the curse of dying soon. You still get long life, and you're okay because you gave your money to the church. And that really makes logical sense. Because giving the money to the church, you know, for the glory of God is good. So you don't have to take care of your parents. And we know that the word also says obedience is better than your sacrifice. So now all of a sudden, you got to get out of jail free card that you're using, because now you have taken the commandments of man and made them greater or equal to the commandments of God. When do we first see this kind of false doctrine? In the garden.
Okay.
The devil asked a question to cause doubt about the truth. Did God tell you not to eat of this? Yeah, God said not to eat it. And he said you shouldn't even touch it. And we know good and doggone well God didn't say nothing about not touching the fruit. I didn't see it in the scriptures. He said don't eat it. Didn't say anything about not touching. Where did not touching part come from? Eat. It makes sense. If he told you not to eat it, you probably shouldn't touch it either. That makes sense. The only problem is God didn't say it.
How can you eat it without touching it?
So it makes sense. Don't touch it. Then you won't have to worry about not eating it. That makes logical sense. My logical mind, that makes sense. But God is smarter than our logic. So here's how that works today.
In a three-step, that's
if you tell me, all right.
Flesh, magic,
this magic marker here. Thank you. Super magic marker. God says don't eat the magic marker. We add to that and say, not only should you not eat it,
don't touch.
But you shouldn't touch it either. Now, it's one thing to make a recommendation. I recommend you don't even touch it. But when you say, my recommendation is divine and it's also the commandment of God, now I've taken my man-made recommendation and made it, and here's what happens. So the temptation comes. The devil comes and says, what did God say? God said, don't eat it. But he also said, don't touch it. So what do? You touch it. And you say, well, I touched it, and ain't nothing happened, so I might as well go on and eat it.
Nothing happened right then.
Oh, but now you're all jacked up.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So false doctrine and these recommendations, they may make sense. But when the Pharisees say this tradition is really now we're going to treat it like it's God's law, you just mess somebody up. And your man-made law now is going to put somebody in bondage and cause them to sin. And you want to talk about something else? No. Jesus said, let's talk about this. Because me not doing something based upon your man-made tradition is far less a crime than you doing this. This is crazy. You got a crazy relative who had divorced his wife or whatever, you know, he was abusive in the relationship, and now he wants to get back together with her, and he says, you know, if you had just treated me like this and supported me, then nothing would have ever happened. I'm sorry, you're not going to get her back like that. Why not say, I repent and I apologize for all the evil stuff that I did to you or whatever. And I ain't figured out how to tell this other person. You asking the wrong questions. Because he's still stuck on justifying and protecting himself and discrediting you, hypocrite, rather than you asking a question that convicts him to go, if you really want this or what God had, then don't you know you got to humble yourself and stop trying to justify your actions? Hypocrite. Yes, ma'am.
When you point a finger at somebody else.
Yes.
How many of you got pointing back at yourself?
I think I heard that before, but I'm going to use it. So Susan said, for those of you on Zoom didn't hear that, she says, when you point your finger at somebody else, you got three more fingers pointing back at you. So what you really ought to be doing is you really ought to be following your thumb and looking up at God. Anyway, so.
I like that.
Yeah.
All right. So he gives them a specific example. Now we did some Matthew Henry stuff here. They've got the pretense of religion would make his refusal to provide for his parents not only passable but plausible. What that means is, on the surface, logically, this made sense. That, you know, pretending to be religious or whatever would make sense and would trick that person that they're giving this advice and counseling to into, oh yeah, I can keep doing this. It would justify, boy, I'm still thinking about that first mistake. It would justify you continuing to do what you're doing, not provide for your parents. And then one of the inmates said something that was quite interesting this morning, and then I'm through with the review. And I like this. He says, to break the law is bad, but to teach men so, as the scribes and Pharisees did, is much worse. So basically what Jesus is saying is, yeah, I'm not even going to defend myself that I'm going to wash my hands, but what you're doing is a whole lot worse than this, and that's what we really need to be focusing on. True, I might have done some things with the mask mandate, whatever, blah, 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 but what you guys are focusing on is really not what we need to be focusing on. They said, one of the inmates said, in fact, the one that's getting out today, last Sunday is today, said, the word said, let me go back to it. The commandment says, honor your father or your mother, or honor your father and your mother, or whatever. And the question was, what if daddy wasn't home and mommy was, and you honor mommy, but you got issues with daddy?
You said honor both of them.
Okay.
Yeah, not one.
And for some of them, mommy and daddy ain't there no more. They're in the ground or up in heaven. And you might be feeling guilty because, well, they're not here. And I didn't spend time with them like I wanted to spend time with them. Or I didn't, you know, do this. I got no chance to repair because they're not here anymore. But there's no expiration date on honoring mommy and daddy. My daddy told me, hey, boy, I always honor the name. And wherever he is up there looking down, I'm still doing those things that honor my dad. And the best thing I can do in honoring my dad, since he's closer to God now, is to be able to say, as long as I'm honoring him and doing what he says do, that I'm honoring my parents. No expiration date. Don't let whether the parent was good or bad keep you from where God wants you to do. Don't be no Pharisee.
It's an excuse. So I don't have to do that because they weren't da 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 da.
It makes sense. It's logical. In fact, I will stand on my podium and say, my dad did some things that were not right, unjustifiable. If I shared them with you, you would agree.
He wasn't perfect.
Didn't know any better or didn't care any better anymore. But the bottom line is this. I read somewhere in the Old Testament, his mercies are new every day. And they're new for who? They're new for me because I screw up every day. And I don't want to be in a situation where I become self-righteous and I follow this script of, well, I'm not going to do this. Why? Because I'm going to shame and discredit them. Why? Because I'm going to make myself look better and justifiable. Why? To validate why I don't give them love and respect because they don't deserve it. Why? Because I fear loss of control. Now all of a sudden I'm becoming a hypocrite. I'm letting somebody else's failure in my life cause me to miss what God has for me. I'm so glad that I'm free. I don't know what to do. Thank you for the blood.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
All right. They replace God's desire and instructions with their own man-made rule. That's great. Now, we're ready for the new stuff. Here we go.
Anthony, we ready?
We ready, Anthony. All right, here we go. Anthony said, let's go. Verse 7. Ye hypocrites. Not a class of hypocrites. Let me just share with you. Just because you ask somebody the question and you're doing this thing like Christ doesn't do it, that still doesn't mean that they're going to be able to receive it. But you've done what you needed to do. And there comes a time where I say, you know what? You keep the dust off your feet and go, you're a hypocrite. All right. Make sure you follow the prophet. All right. You hypocrites. Well did Elijah prophesy of you, saying, this people draw nigh unto me with their mouth and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. That's in Isaiah somewhere. But in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. Which means you brought your tradition into divine law. Why do you think he brings up Elias or Elijah? There's something there. Why does he bring it? What is he doing by quoting Elijah?
It's Isaiah.
Isaiah. Yes. Thank you. Why is he quoting Isaiah?
That's their realm of knowledge. That's what they
do. That's their realm of knowledge. They would be able to relate to that. Right. Thank you. Give an example that people are going to be able to relate to. Why? For the purpose of causing them to repent. Mm-hmm. When you're having beef with people, that's ministry opportunity. It's not an opportunity for you to defend yourself. It's an opportunity for you to lead somebody to the light of the gospel. Don't miss opportunity. Now, I'm not saying I'm looking forward to every beef or whatever, but I got to start looking at these things because, let me ask this question. Has anybody learned anything in this class, church?
Oh, yeah.
Is anybody learning anything today?
Yeah.
Be careful, because whatever it is you're learning, God wants to put it in you so that you can go on and use it and apply it to either deliver yourself from bondage or deliver somebody else. Amen. In order to deliver somebody else from bondage, guess what might fall into your pathway this week? Crazy people.
That's a given.
Crazy people might crazy, and you might be looking at the Lord going, why is this crazy person calling me up in my cubicle? What's going on? It may be because God wants you to ask them the right questions so they can stop being crazy. I know you don't want to be bothered. I know they wear you out. They wear you out.
It's been your potential spam,
man. Woo-hoo. Gracious.
Crazy folks.
You know what? We're just as crazy as they are sometimes.
Mm-hmm. So this lesson is for two things. One, to identify the crazy, to know how to deal with the crazy,
yeah,
to make sure that they're focusing on the right thing, and to make sure that we don't find ourselves being just as crazy as they are.
Right.
Just crazy. Anyway, what else is he? Yes, Susan's right. He's giving them something they can refer to, but what else is happening here in verse 7 and 8 in the natural? Well, no, in the spirit. How can we use this? Let me help you because we're running out of time. Give people the word of God. Don't just give them your opinion. Ask the question and then give them the word of God to back it up. Hey, crazy church person, self-righteous individual, hypocrite, all right? Hey, this is what the word of God says. Let me ask you a question. Do you see yourself in the word? Do you see this prophecy coming true through you and your actions? Let me give you some scripture. Is what you're doing bringing glory to God? Because you're focusing on what somebody did to you and how they...
Mm-hmm.
And if you focus on defending yourself...
And not forgiveness.
Is God getting glory from your response? Come on, First Corinthians, give him some word. The word is how I got saved.
Yes. If they got a problem with the word, they got to take it up with God.
And it ain't my problem anymore.
Right.
Now I'm going to sleep at night. Stop worrying about when the crazy people call me, all I got for you is the word.
That's our church motto. Honor God by building lives.
Yep, all I got is the word. I was doing some marriage counseling or whatever. And, you know, if anybody wants some marriage counseling, yeah, I can give it to you. But anyway, I went over to this brother's house or whatever. My wife is out of town. I was going to bring her too. She's going to talk to the wife or whatever. And I'm talking. He called me up and said, hey, I want you to talk to me and my wife or whatever. I'm like, okay. So I get over there. I start talking to them, talking to her or whatever. And all of a sudden, he starts saying a couple of things. I'm just shaking my head going, I've been there, done that, been there, done that. I know exactly what's going on next. Yeah, been there, done that. I'm listening, just listening, not judging or whatever, you know. And I said, hey, look, I'm not a marriage counselor. Don't come back and sue me. I don't have a piece of paper on my wall. Mm-hmm. I just know this word. So I'm just going to tell you what the word says. And when I got through talking to him, I'm like, you off. Mm-hmm. According to the word. And I started asking them questions. Do you really think that how you treat your wife, you really think that brings God glory? Yeah, I know. But. Ain't no but. You remember that? Let me run back this word back to you again. When I left, he knew. Now he's got a choice to make. Either I'm going to obey the word or I'm going to stay stuck on myself and stupid. Mm-hmm. I did my job. Mm-hmm. I asked you a question. I gave you the word. I interpreted that word. You off. All right. Jesus called them hypocrites. Hypocrite is translated as an actor or pretender. All right. Now, in my notes, I looked at this. Actor or pretender. That's what hypocrite translated means to be. If Jesus is in effect calling them pretenders or hypocrites, all right, what are they pretending to be?
Religious.
Religious. Why?
They want the people to like them.
Why?
Because it's got them in a position of being ahead of people.
Power. Yeah.
So there you go. Three whys and you get to the root. It's all about the power, all about the money, and it's not about the people.
God.
Or God. Thank you. Woo! I don't know how I'm going to vote on the 24th, but I got a pretty good idea. But a lot of the stuff that I'm seeing on TV is letting me know you really ain't about the people, and you really ain't about the things of God. You just want to get the power.
Yep.
But that's what it's all about right now.
It is.
In politics or the world, it's all about who's in control.
Let's say about the world. So now we got this. Well, I'm not even going to go there. Anyway, let's just keep going. Let me just keep going. Just about everything that's going on in the world, in the nation, is all about power, what other people think or whatever. I got to respond. I got to react because people might think this of me and that of me or whatever. And you ain't worried about what God thinks. And his perspective trumps everybody else's perspective. I'm just, oh my God, how lost are we in this world?
Yes,
we are. And then
if they only knew how well we'd all be doing if they'd follow God.
Yeah, I was watching a show on TV about drugs and stuff like that, and drugs in Tennessee and stuff like that or whatever, something I don't know. One of these networks or whatever. And I'm listening to these people, you know, describe the drug life or whatever. And they say, you know, they will actually purposely kill people if they snitch.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And if they lose some drugs or something like that, that thing is, oh, you lose drugs, I got to kill you. If you want to get out of the game, then I will tell you, come talk to me face to face and we'll meet up in the alley because you want to quit or whatever. So let's talk about it or whatever. And then only one person is going to come out that alley. I mean, are you kidding me? The world is that sick. Every opportunity that I have, I've got to be cognizant of, you need this light. And the Spirit has to help me ask the right question so they can see that this ain't the way to go. Or you'll be going somewhere. All right, here we go. He brings in, they're pretending. He brings in scriptures and prophecies which should have served as a warning and a wake-up call. And you're right, thank you, Susan. It is Isaiah 29 and 13 that he's quoting. He's trying to use the scriptures to convince people to change. Don't just take my word for it. Here's what God says. Let me say that one more time. Don't just take my word for it. Here's what God says. Now, how are they pretending? It's my next question. They're hypocrites. They're pretending. With their words, they try to approach God and say the right things. So they say the right things. And they praise, they honor God with their lips, lip service. But their motivation for doing this is not led by the Holy Spirit. Do you mean to tell me you can praise God and your motivation is really not about praising God? You're praising God for another reason? How do you do that? Don't ask that question. I used to be on the praise team. There were several Sundays where I did it that way, for the wrong way.
To look good.
Pride.
Oh, all that is true. When I was on the praise team in the choir, I got my mind in such a place where it's only about Him. I don't care who's leading the song. I don't care if somebody didn't hit their note right, but we need to try to hit our notes or whatever. But it was... I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. Because I was just happy to be up front. Wow. Look good on the outside. Crooked as a snake on the inside. But I was looking good. I was looking good up there.
But you know, if you're putting the right stuff in, God's going to use it. Somehow, some way, sometime. It's going to come back to your heart.
Yeah, it will always come back to your heart. And when I got my heart right, I got right.
Yeah, things are better.
Yeah. They were not doing it for God. They were doing it for themselves and to impress others. Can you be very religious and still not have a heart for God?
Yes.
Wow. Look at what he's saying here. It's a hypocrite. That scripture. This people draw close to me with their mouth.
Yeah,
they honor me with their lips. But they got a heart condition.
Right.
And so when you got a heart condition in your worship, you are, it says, they worship in vain. Oh my God, which means you're wasting time. Which God is saying, if you're going to go to church and waste time and not have the right heart, you might as well go fishing. Stay home. You know, play the numbers. Instead of driving to church, drive to Georgia. Buy a lottery ticket. Because you, you know.
Didn't we hash this out with the wheat and the tares?
Yes, we did. He's just giving it. The Bible just repeats the same thing over and over again because we.
It's a rehearsal.
We didn't
it's
keep
rehearsing
it.
Rehearsal.
Man, crazy. All right. Look what Matthew Henry says. They draw near physically. The Pharisee went into the temple to pray. He does not stand at that distance from where other people are who live without God in the world. But has a name among people that are near unto him. What Matthew Henry is saying is, hey, these church, crazy church people, they're in the church. They're not far away. They're not sitting on the couch or whatever. So that they can look good in front of everybody else at the church. But they're crooked. I'm glad we don't have folk like that here in this church. All right, so now. I got a couple of scriptures here as we get ready to wrap this up. I think we're in a good place or whatever. Let me see. Somebody have to turn to Ezekiel 33 and 31, but James 1 and 26 says, if any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. You are wasting your time.
Ezekiel
33:31. Somebody turn that one. Tell me what that is.
Now, people come to you as they usually do and sit before you to hear your words, but they do not put them into practice. The mouth speaks of love, but the hearts are greedy for unjust gain.
All right. Mm-hmm. Unjust gain. Unjust gain. You're chasing for something, but you're going about it the wrong way. All right. So this area of self-righteousness is dangerous for the hypocrite as well as everybody else who listens to them. Uh-oh. Politics, red meat.
Uh-oh.
Start listening to this stuff. And now, not only are you in danger of judgment, but you're leading everybody else out for the sake of you getting some power. Man. This world is crazy.
Yes, it is.
And some churches are crazy, too. Because of crazy church folk. All right, here we go. Here we go. All right. Vain worship and praise, which means you're not benefiting the kingdom. You're just making yourself feel good. Ooh, I just got convicted again. Thank God for his mercy and grace. And I love David Guzik, one of my favorite guys. God is interested in the internal and the real, while we are far more interested in merely external and image. One must take care that their relationship with God is not merely external, and for your image. Oh, it's going to get better as we go along a little bit further. Verse 10. We will end at verse 10, but I will give you this one. And he called the multitude and said unto him, hear and understand. It's not that which goeth into the mouth that defileth a man, but that which cometh out of the mouth. This defileth a man. This is the parable. So we did all this just to get to the parable. We haven't even got to the parable yet. We did all this is groundwork to get to the parable. All right, there you go. All right. Now, question as we get ready to close. What do we learn from verse 10? And he called the multitude and he said unto them, hear and understand. What's the significance of that?
What comes out of their mouth is comes from their heart.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that in a minute.
You can hear stuff. You don't necessarily think to understand it.
Yes, that's very, yes. Very good, very good. So, pardon me? Yes, absolutely.
Listen,
yeah, grasp, understand.
Listen and understand.
All very good answers. But you're missing verse 10. He called the multitude. Yeah, yeah. So why would he call the multitude?
He wants to talk to the people.
He wants to talk to the people.
Listen.
All right. So if he called the multitude and told them this, this must be important for the people to know and understand and discern.
Right.
So if he told that multitude, because it was important to that multitude, and there's still hypocrites and crazy church people running around here right now, okay, then this must be something that we should want to pay attention to, because there's nothing new under the sun.
Right.
All right? So next week we will read the parable and learn and understand. So while this part of the lesson is called, make sure you focus on the right thing, this part of the lesson we might give it a new name that says, never mind, I'm not going to go there because I will say this. I will say this. Al, I feel a little bit of conviction. You know, because I pick on you a lot, and somebody might pause and stop me and say, why?
Because I'm good looking.
Oh,
bro. Okay, and we're gonna stop right there with that one. I pick on Al because he's good looking. He looks better than me. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's get ready to pray.
I may be a hypocrite.